Please take your Bibles and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Proverbs and chapter 10. Proverbs 10, as we make our way through this book of God's wisdom. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you have thought about money in the last week? Right? Except for maybe the very youngest among us, who think that light and heat and air conditioning and gasoline and cars and houses and whatever all just are there, just appear magically. Apart from those that don't realize what it takes to make all of those things happen, I'm guessing pretty much everybody here has thought about money. Last week, last day, last hour, last minute, maybe we just sang about how God will take care of you, and maybe you were wondering, is he really going to? I'm in need. Just listing off the things that require our dollars, the food that we eat, and the electricity and the gas that keep us warm or cool, and the roof over our heads, remind us that money, whether we like it or not, money is an integral part of our lives. We can't not think about it and expect to make it very far in this world. So besides thinking about it in the last week, maybe you've also earned money, spent it, saved it, wasted it, stressed over it, wished you had more of it, probably had all sorts of thoughts related to money in the last week or so. From ordinary expenses to unexpected big ticket repairs to planning for the future to providing for our children to giving generously, money occupies our time and attention, if not daily, at least weekly. And so something that occupies so much of our time and attention, it seems, should be something that we have a uniquely Christian perspective on. Yes, we share principles in common with people who are not believers regarding our money and the way we spend it. There are things that we hold in common with those that are not Christians, but what does the Bible have to teach us about money? And today I want to look especially at what Proverbs, of course, has to teach us about money. It has a lot to say on the subject of wealth and poverty, having plenty of money or enough to provide for your needs and not having enough money. Proverbs has a lot to say about it. So if you're visiting with us, we've been going through the book of Proverbs. We expositionally, section by section, worked our way through Proverbs 1 through 9. Which are a father's speeches to his son about wisdom and how to live wisely in this world. But then Proverbs 10 through 31 are very different from 1 through 9. They're almost miscellaneous, randomly ordered bits of wisdom about particular areas of life. So we're not preaching expositionally through Proverbs 10 through 31. We're going to take that topically and collect what the Proverbs have to say about a particular subject. So for today, the subject of wealth and poverty. What does Proverbs has to teach us about that? And today, our topic, wealth and poverty, is very different than our topic last week. Last week, we talked about pride and humility. And pride and humility, we saw, are at the essential core of wisdom and folly, and therefore are matters of sin and righteousness. Not so with today's topic. Wealth and poverty are not inherently and necessarily good or evil. I want to say that again because it's important. Wealth and poverty are not inherently in and of themselves either good or evil. Now, there's much good and evil that can swirl around and be associated with and driven by money and a love of money or a surplus of money or a lack of money. But in and of themselves, wealth and poverty are not moral categories. Now, Proverbs has a ton to say about them, and we're not going to get to all of it. But the vast array of wisdom on the subject of wealth and poverty shows the importance of not isolating individual proverbs. We've warned against that in the past, how these are principles and we need to take them collectively as a whole. So let me give you an example. Proverbs 10 and verse 15. You're there in Proverbs 10. You can look at verse 15. A rich man's wealth is his strong city. The poverty of the poor is their ruin. And so you read that and you think, ah, wealth is good. There's protection there. It speaks favorably of wealth in that instance. But if you turn over, and again, as with last week, I'm gonna quote or read a lot of Proverbs today. You can turn to as many of them or as few of them as you like to follow along. But we will be going all over Proverbs. But remember 10:15 there, a rich man's wealth is a strong city. Down in Proverbs 18, verses 10 and 11, you'll find this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. A rich man's wealth is his strong city. Same phrase as chapter 10 and verse 15. A rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his imagination. So wait, is wealth good, protection? It's his strong city, or is it the Lord who is our protection? And wealth is only an imagined protection for us. Well, the truth is a balance of those things. And it depends on which situation you're in and what you mean. Is a person with money in the bank better suited to endure a period of unemployment, economic downturn, than a person with no money saved up? Yes, of course. Wealth is like a strong city. It provides protection in moments like those. But can all of the money in the world ultimately deliver you or keep you safe? Should your trust be in your money? Well, of course not. That's only the name of the Lord, which is a strong tower. Amen. That the righteous runs into and is safe. And so you'll find with money, no one statement can sum up the truths that Proverbs gives us about money. For example, does wisdom lead to wealth, or is wisdom better than wealth? Proverbs says both. Wisdom leads to wealth, and it's better than wealth. Proverbs shows us both. So there's a commentator, Tremper Longman, and I appreciate a lot of what he says, other things not so much. But he points this out, and he tries to summarize all of Proverbs' wisdom on wealth into seven statements. He studied out what the Proverbs had to say about wealth, and he came up with seven things. And as I've studied what Proverbs has to say about wealth over the last week especially, I don't disagree with him. I think he's right. So he says seven things, and some of them may sound contradictory. Listen to what he says. And if you want a little bit more about how to interpret Proverbs and how they're principles and not absolute promises, how they're true generally in a world, all other things being equal, but all other things aren't equal. And so wisdom doesn't always lead to wealth. You can go back to the very first message. We talked about how some Proverbs appear contradictory, and it depends on the situation and which wisdom is to be applied. Sometimes you need to apply this, and sometimes you need to apply this. Some people need to hear a rich man's wealth is a strong city. If they have no plan or thought for saving and having a buffer against unemployment or difficult times, some people need that wisdom applied to them. Other people have their bank account, and they are so wrapped up. They trust, I've got everything planned. So any contingency I'm prepared for because I've got all my money ready and set. I've got life insurance. I've got this and that. And they are trusting in their money. They need to be reminded that a rich man's wealth is a strong city in his own imagination. And it's the name of the Lord in which we trust. And so Proverbs, part of the wisdom of Proverbs is knowing in which situation to apply which proverb. And so, again, you go back to the first message. I just re-preached it. None of that was in my notes, and now we're probably behind. Anyway, Tremper Longman gives you seven summary statements of wisdom. One, God blesses the righteous with wealth. You can find that in Proverbs. All of these you can find in Proverbs. Foolish behavior leads to poverty. Right? Number three, the wealth of fools will not last. Now, that's really interesting because he just said, God blesses the righteous with wealth. But then he says, the wealth of fools will not last. It's not only the righteous who will be blessed with wealth. Fools can find their way into wealth too. Won't last though. All right, so the wealth of fools won't last. Poverty is the result of injustice and oppression. But didn't you just say foolish behavior leads to poverty? Yep. In some circumstances, in other circumstances, poverty is because of oppression and injustice. Five, those with money must be generous. That one I want to save for next week. I want to give a message over to generosity to the poor. But that's one of his five. Those with money must be generous. Six, wisdom is better than wealth. And seven, wealth has limited value. So there's all of these things that Proverbs says about wealth. How in the world do we preach all of that in one message, especially when the preacher goes down rabbit trails that he wasn't planning to go down? Well, we don't, all right? We're not going to be able to cover everything that Proverbs has to say about money and wealth. Again, next week for generosity to the poor. But today I just want to look three headings, sort of. Wealth, poverty, and a better way. And we'll sum up some of what Proverbs has to teach about those subjects. So let's start with wealth. And with both wealth and poverty, I want to talk about the path to wealth, path to poverty, the good things associated with wealth, and the bad things associated with it. Same with poverty, all right? So wealth first, now the path to wealth. There is a good and a legitimate path to having the money that you need, and even maybe a little bit more than you need as a buffer, a cushion, whatever you want to call it. There is a path to wealth, to having enough or even having an abundance, a good path. Generally speaking, Proverbs holds it out as a reward of wisdom. We've seen that. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 18, wisdom speaking says, "Riches and honor are with me." So if you have wisdom, she's got riches and honor with her. Enduring wealth and righteousness. Verse 21 of chapter 8, wisdom still speaking, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. Now, I don't want to repeat all of the qualifiers because sometimes in this life that's not always the case. But eternally, those who are wise, which begins with the fear of the Lord, which means you're trusting in Christ, the wise will have an eternal home without anything lacking for all of eternity. Ultimately, some of the promises or the principles you'll find in Proverbs are not fulfilled in their fullness until we get to glory. So generally, wealth is a reward of wisdom. Finally and ultimately, that will be true in eternity. But often temporally in this world, that's the case for the righteous as well. More specifically, wise behavior leads to wealth. Wise behavior like hard work and diligence tend to result in having the money that you need. And this one too, I largely am going to save for future messages when we talk about diligence and laziness, work and sloth, and so on. So in the future, but Proverbs very definitely ties wealth to hard work and diligence. We're here in Proverbs 10, if you haven't turned away. Proverbs 10 in verse 4, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. You'll find that throughout Proverbs. If you sow during sowing season, then you'll be able to harvest at harvest time and have what you need. But if you don't sow during sowing time, planting time, you come to harvest and you don't have anything because you haven't done the work. Right? So wealth is a product of hard work. Also, it's the blessing of the Lord. Proverbs 10, 22. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and he adds no sorrow with it. Proverbs 19 talks about how it can be inherited. Proverbs 19 and verse 14, you can come to wealth through inheritance. House and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. So there's general expectation of monetary prosperity, at least having enough for those who follow the Lord. That's not the prosperity gospel, okay? I hate the prosperity gospel. That false teaching does not appreciate the rest of what we're going to say today. It doesn't appreciate that we live in a world where because of sin, everything doesn't always operate as it ought. It doesn't appreciate that a Christian's hope is not wealth in this life, but eternal prosperity in the city of God.
Amen.
All right, so remember, when you read these Proverbs and you see that, not prosperity gospel, you need to balance it with what the rest of Proverbs and the rest of Scripture has to say, which is our hope is not in our money, and it's not guaranteed this side of heaven. Proverbs also recognizes, we're talking about the path to wealth, there's a good, legitimate path to wealth. It also recognizes there are evil paths to wealth. There are many wicked people in this world who are wealthy. They have lots of money. Some of them get there by hard work, but with no acknowledgement of God. Others get there by illegitimate means. So Proverbs 11, verse 16, a gracious woman gets honor and violent men get riches. Riches aren't just for the righteous. Violent men will get riches. It happens. That's the way things are in a fallen world. Verse 18 of chapter 11, the wicked earns deceptive wages. But one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. There's a better reward than wages waiting for the righteous. But the wicked earns deceptive wages. Violence and deception are paths to wealth. That's the reality of a fallen world that we live in. Proverbs 21 and verse 6, The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death. It's not good. It's not going to last. But you can get treasure by being dishonest. That's the reality, again, of the world in which we live. So there's a legitimate path to wealth and there are illegitimate paths to wealth. The Proverbs warns against all the weights of the bag are his concern. You don't have one weight for the buyer and one for the seller where it works out in your advantage to get a little bit more wheat or to actually sell a little bit less wheat on the scale. Dishonest means are not a legitimate path to wealth, but they are a path that Proverbs points out to us. So that's a little bit about the path. Now, along the way this morning, I want to just drop here and there some simple, quick, very practical pieces of wisdom related to wealth and poverty. So here's one. And this is obvious, and we've already said it. You want something practical? You say, I don't just need to know what Proverbs says about wealth. I need to know what to do today about wealth. All right? You need to know what to do today. You need to work hard. You need to be diligent. I want to come back to that again when we talk about wealth and diligence, or when we talk about laziness and diligence. But the way to wealth is through hard work and diligence. You need money in this world. You do. We talked about that at the beginning. So work hard, right? That's really deep, isn't it? You guys knew all that already. But here it is, right here in Proverbs. The hand of the diligent makes rich. All right, so focus your attention on the fear of the Lord, wisdom and hard work. And whether you ever achieve wealth, as some folks measure it in this life, you'll have an abundance of treasure stored up in glory for the life to come. Let's talk about a few of the good things associated with wealth then. Generally, it's viewed favorably in Proverbs. We noted in chapter 10 and verse 15, rich man's wealth is a strong city. There's certain security in this world in having money. That's a good thing. Chapter 10 and 22, we saw it's a blessing of God. It's associated with wisdom. It's not inherently a problem in and of itself. Proverbs 14, 24 talks about it being the crown of the wise. It's viewed favorably. The crown of the wise is their wealth, but the folly of fools brings folly. Proverbs 19, 4, this is interesting. Wealth brings many new friends. But a poor man is deserted by his friends. Now, we're talking about the good of wealth. It may create some new connections and associations for you, but be really careful with friends that come because of your money. They may be coming only because of your money. We're probably not in terrible danger of that, but think about somebody like the prodigal son. Boom, sudden inheritance, got a lot of money and a lot of friends. Until when? The money's gone. And he's all alone. A good thing about wealth, it enables you to give generously, which again I want to get to next time. But I would caution us, you don't have to be considered wealthy to be generous. You can give generously of what you have. What about some of the bad of wealth that Proverbs points us to? And the rest of Scripture gives us plenty of warnings regarding wealth as well. It's only so useful. Proverbs 11, verse 4, I think this is really important. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Can riches help you in this world as you walk through it? Yep. Will it do you any good when you stand before God to enter into heaven? Day of judgment, your money won't mean anything. It's limited value. Bring you lots of friends? Maybe. Able to have stuff in this life? Sure. Is there any help when you stand before God in the judgment? No. And in this life, money may cause you trouble. Friends who are only around because they want a cut of your cash, that's a burden. Having money may make you a target of theft or ransom demands. Proverbs 13:8 says, the ransom of a man's life is his wealth. But a poor man hears no threat. Poor don't typically have to worry too much about that. It can be a connection with pride and wealth as well. Pride we talked about last week, Proverbs 28:11. A rich man is wise in his own eyes. But a poor man who has understanding will find him out. He's wise in his own eyes. You hear the pride that we've talked about through the book of Proverbs so far. The rich assume because they are in that position, they know better than someone who is not. Remember, wealth can be like a high wall in our own imaginations. So we trust it and ourselves instead of God. Pride. So one of the dangers of wealth is being inflated with pride. But the reality is, Proverbs 11:28, whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. Trust in your money, you're going to come crashing down. And there's a danger. There's a certain security that comes with wealth. It's comfortable. We like that. And there's this boundary. It is. It's like a secure city. There's security, and we ought to be wise and plan accordingly. But man, it is so easy to put our faith in the money and not in the God who provides it. And then we're in trouble. Don't trust your riches. Trust your God. So there's a little proverbial wisdom on wealth. Path to wealth, some of the good of wealth, some of the bad of wealth. Let's do the same thing with poverty now. The path to poverty. And maybe you'll be surprised at some of what we have to say about the path to poverty. Much of what Proverbs points us to on this front is not surprising. It's laziness. The sluggard is a very interesting character in Proverbs. It's an unwillingness to work. Again, more Lord willing in the future when we talk about diligence and laziness. But Proverbs places such an emphasis on it as a path to poverty, we have to note it here. So we've already seen Proverbs 10 and verse 4. A slack hand causes poverty. Proverbs 6, verses 10 and 11. We looked at this early in our series in Proverbs. A little sleep. Here's the sluggard. A little sleep. One more time with the snooze button. 10 more times with the snooze button. A little sleep. Just a little slumber. That's all he's aiming. Just a little bit. And it stretches into more. A little folding of the hands to rest. I love a good nap. Trust me. I take naps. I think sleep is very important. This guy is not someone who sees the importance of sleep. He's someone who most of what he does is sleep. He's lazy. Little folding of the hands to rest. And poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. We have multiple references from Proverbs that say laziness is the path to poverty. It's a path. If hard work is a path to wealth, laziness is a path to not having that wealth, not having what you need. And there's variations of that, a little bit different than the lazy guy's the talker. Proverbs 14:23, in all toil there is profit, right? Work hard, profit, in all toil there's profit. But mere talk tends only to poverty. Right? The guy that stands around but never actually gets it. He leans on a shovel but never actually digs with a shovel. He's too busy talking while you're doing all the digging. Talk tends to poverty. There's another path. Laziness, talk, and not work. Failing to listen to instruction can lead to poverty. That's the mark of the fool, remember? Doesn't listen to instruction, rejects wisdom. Proverbs 13:18, poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction. Trying to instruct somebody on how to do a project, maybe one of your kids, and you're trying to show them and they're not paying attention, and you leave them to do the work and they don't do it, or they don't do it right. Or maybe you see that with employees that you've hired. Or maybe we've been that employee that doesn't listen to instruction. That tends to poverty. Poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction. Wasting, blowing the money that you do have can lead to poverty. Might actually have earned some, might have some, might have accumulated some. Wasting it, though, can lead to poverty. Listen to this, Proverbs 21:17. Whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. Because they spend their money on the pursuit of pleasure, wine and oil. Some people think that the wealthy just throw money around because they have it. Sometimes the reality is they have money because they don't throw it around. They're very frugal. They're very careful with how they spend it. They're very wise. And that's how they've accumulated some money. A love of pleasure is a quick path to the poorhouse. Again, ask the prodigal son. Similarly, Proverbs 23, verses 20 and 21. Be not among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty. And slumber will clothe them with rags. They're indulgent, so they spend what they have and they don't have any, and they're lazy, so they're clothed with rags. Proverbs 29:3 says, a companion of prostitutes wastes his wealth, squanders his wealth. So a love of pleasure can lead you to poverty. Trying to get wealthy by oppressing others can lead you to poverty. Proverbs 11:24, one gives freely yet grows all the richer. And interesting, giving generously is a path to wealth. One gives freely but grows all the richer. They're generous. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. I'm not going to give because I need it. And he suffers want. Think about an employer not paying a promised wage or paying an unfair wage. He may be trying to get ahead for himself unjustly. Eventually, it will catch up with him. Proverbs 22:16, whoever oppresses the poor to increase his own wealth or gives to the rich will only come to poverty. That's another path to poverty. Oppressing others, being unjust to others can get you there. Elsewhere, hastening after wealth, trying to get those get-rich-quick schemes. Hastening after wealth, Proverbs 28 and verse 22, leads to poverty. Worthless pursuits, Proverbs 28 and verse 19, I think, lead to poverty. All sorts of paths to poverty. Self-inflicted, pursuing pleasure, being unjust, being lazy, will land you in poverty. Sometimes, though, poverty is not the fault of the poor. That's really important to understand. Sometimes poverty is not the fault of the poor. Don't automatically assume when you see a poor person, you need to work. Hold on. On the other side, injustice may cause poverty for the one being oppressed. Might bring poverty to the oppressor, but it can cause poverty for the one being oppressed. Proverbs 13:23. The fallow ground of the poor would yield much food, but it is swept away through injustice. He works his land, but his oppressive master takes away any profit he could get from it. Some think that's a reference to poor judgment on the part of the poor in 13:23. Swept away through a lack of a judgment on the poor's part. I think the ESV translation is better here to translate it as injustice being done to them. But regardless, elsewhere Proverbs talks about the importance of knowing and defending the rights of the poor, which tells us that those rights are not always known and defended, which means that they suffer injustice. Proverbs 29:7, a righteous man knows the rights of the poor. A wicked man does not understand such knowledge. Again, when you see somebody that's poor and your instinct is like, you need to work, hold on. There are more paths to poverty than just laziness. Oppression and injustice also lead to poverty. Ultimately, it will all be made right by the just judge. I've said this a lot today. I want to come back to some of that next week when we talk about generosity to the poor. That says, I'm not going to give to the poor. They should work. Sometimes that's true. And other times they're suffering injustice and they need our help. Or they need our help to learn how to work. Preaching next week's message. We're getting further behind the clock. Sorry. Ultimately, injustice, of course, will be made right by the just judge. But until then, injustice and oppression are a very real source of poverty. So there's a little bit about the way into poverty. Now, let's talk about the good of poverty. What? There's good associated with poverty? Yup. You know those friends of the wealthy who love their money? Poor person doesn't have that problem. If a poor person has a friend, there's a good chance it's a true friend. Or at least they're not there for the money. And worried about having to pay a ransom or being a target for robbery? Not so much. 13:8, the ransom of the man's life is his wealth, but a poor man hears no threat. It's good. There are multiple better than proverbs that aren't necessarily inherently good. Poverty is not inherently good, but it's better to be poor and righteous and to have wisdom and to be wealthy and to be wicked and to be a fool. Lots of proverbs say that. Different places again and again. Let me give you a few examples. Proverbs 28:6. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. Really hard when that rich man has the phone that you want, the car that you love to drive. Hard to sit over here and go, better a poor man and what is it in 28:6? With integrity. and that crooked guy over there, but I really like his stuff. But better to be poor and to have integrity. Proverbs 15, verses 16 and 17. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Better is a dinner of herbs. This kills me. I love meat. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. Do we believe it? It'd be better to be poor and to have love, and to be righteous, and to be a man of integrity, a woman of integrity, and to be faithful and have wisdom, than to be crooked and a fool and to have turmoil and strife and to have everything that money can buy. Do you believe it? Jim Neuheiser says, and he's quoting, I think, another commentator, at least in part, he says, money can put food on the table, but it cannot put love around the table. But make no mistake, there are painful things to deal with for the poor, too. So there's some good with poverty, but there's also bad. Not having false friends is good. Not having any friends is painful. And that can be the case for the poor. It's not as it should be, but it describes the reality for some in this broken world. Proverbs 19:7. All a poor man's brothers hate him. How much do his friends go far from him? He pursues them with words, but does not have them. It's a sad reality for some who are poor. For many, it is their ruin. Proverbs 10:15. A rich man's wealth is a strong city. We've seen that. The poverty of the poor is their ruin. It's their undoing. You don't have the daily needs of life. Being poor can mean being mistreated by the rich, which we've hinted at or said already. But Proverbs 18:23, the poor use entreaties, but the rich answer roughly. And of course, the injustice of which we spoke can keep them from changing their situation, even though they work hard to do so. There's dangers to poverty. So there's a little bit about wealth and poverty and what Proverbs has to teach us about those two categories. Now, thirdly, let's talk about a better way. The better aim of our effort in this life is wisdom, not wealth. Remember what we said, one of Tremper Longman's summary statements at the beginning. Wisdom is better than wealth. Wealth can only help us in certain ways in this life, and then not at all when we stand before God facing the judgment to come. Wisdom, though, understood as being rooted in the fear of the Lord, a relationship with God through Christ, wisdom can help us in every situation in this life. And since it's rooted in the fear of the Lord and trusting Christ, it's what we need to be ready to face the life to come. Wisdom is better than wealth. Pour your effort into pursuing wisdom. That is the better way. Proverbs 16:16. How much better to get wisdom than gold. To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. You got the option to pursue gold or wisdom. Choose wisdom every time. Now, excuse me, our choices don't usually neatly align themselves quite like that. Gold or wisdom. Oh, I know, wisdom. It's usually a little trickier than that. But understand that wisdom is better than gold, and our pursuit should be focused toward wisdom rather than wealth. Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 15. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her, from wisdom, is better than gain from silver, and her profit, wisdom's profit, better than gold. She, wisdom, is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that it's better to be driving a beater car, wearing clothes from Goodwill, eating rice and beans, and having no money in the bank if you know Jesus today, than to have the nicest car, and the best clothes, and steak for dinner, and a fat bank account, and to not know Jesus and be a fool? Do you believe that? Anything wrong with a nice car, steak, good clothes, money in the bank? No. No, those are good things, fine things. Is it possible to have Jesus and those things? Yes. Yes. Yes, I think Proverbs shows us that. But wisdom and Jesus are better by far. Again, Proverbs 11:4. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Again, wisdom better than wealth. Do you have that wisdom? Are you ready to stand before God on the day of judgment? Are you ready to stand before Him? Because if you stand before Him and say, look, I've got some stuff I can bring. Nice car. I got a bank account that I'd be glad to donate to the heavenly coffers. I have some friends that love me and not, or don't love me, they love my money. You stand before God, all of that won't matter. Had a steak dinner, great. Good for you. Won't profit you in the day of wrath. Again, I like those things. They're good, reward of wisdom, but if it's a choice between that and Christ, you better choose Christ and His wisdom every time. Because when you stand before God and you say, I have nothing. I do. I've got a car, I've got a bank account, but my hope, Lord, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my righteousness. He died for my sin. And I'm not getting into heaven except joined to Him. That is my hope. Riches will do you no good in the day of wrath. So we say the better way is wisdom, but still you say, what do wise people do with respect to wealth? What should we pursue it? Should it be a goal? We can't ignore it. Proverbs certainly doesn't. What do we do? Well, we said some things. We must work hard. That's clear. I want us to see here. We need to use whatever measure of wealth we have wisely. I think that's clear in Proverbs. But should we pursue wealth? Is poverty to be embraced as an intentional lifestyle? Did the hermits, the monks who take a vow of poverty, do they get it right? We embrace poverty because it's better than having a life of wealth. We've said from the beginning that wealth and poverty are not inherently moral categories. They're not inherently right or wrong. So no, I don't think we just seek to embrace a life of poverty because it's better somehow. I hope you've seen that today. But what about the pursuit of wealth? There are passages in Proverbs that make us think that we should pursue wealth. The many connections between diligence and wealth point us in that direction. We must be lazy, we must work hard, and as you do that, you're essentially pursuing wealth. Other Proverbs point us again towards that pursuit. Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. The sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. If you want to have an inheritance to leave, and a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, you have to gain wealth to be able to do that, right? The ants. Remember the ants go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. She's storing up, preparing for the future, stocking away. If we're to have anything to save up or to store, we have to have earned something in order to save and to be prepared and to have some security, as we've seen. And so, and here's another one of those little practical tips for your money. Save wisely. So you're prepared for the both expected and unexpected. That's what the ant does. They're saving up. They know that winter's coming. So they're ready. There's a wise thing to do. If you have some money and you're able to save some, do it. It's wise to save up. Should you put your trust in that money? No. If you don't have anything saved up, does it mean that God is not going to provide for you? No. God's going to take care of His people and keep them all the way. Is it wise to do that? Yes. Proverbs shows us that. Save wisely so you're prepared for the unexpected. Proverbs 3:9-10, if we are to honor the Lord with your wealth, you need some to honor Him with, right? If we're to honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. That's not a negative thing. Having your barns stored up and full and ready for the future, that's a positive thing. To be able to honor the Lord with your wealth, you have to have some. So we pursue hard work. There's another principle for our finances, but we talked about it back in chapter 3 when we preached through there. Giving generously to the Lord. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Another principle for your finances and mine. Make sure that any wealth accumulation is legitimate, not the wicked ways that we considered earlier. Be an honest buyer, seller, worker, employer. And so there's that side that points us to wealth as a legitimate pursuit in Proverbs, but other Proverbs warn us against pursuing wealth. It's not always cut and dry and neat, is it? Balance all of these things together. Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Hastens to be rich. Or Proverbs 28:22, a stingy man or a man with an evil eye hastens after wealth and does not know that poverty will come upon him. This is more about the how of pursuing wealth. Don't hasten after it. It's a warning, I think, probably against some of those. Another little tip, another little bit of wisdom for our pursuit of wealth or our pursuit of hard work. Beware of get rich quick schemes that sound too good to be true. Probably are. The man who hastens after wealth, you think of things like gambling, the lottery, you hear about something where you can do just a little bit of work and get a big payout, unreal payout for a small buy-in. Careful. Hasten to get wealthy, you end up in the poorhouse. But then what about this? Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone, for suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. Which is it? Do I need to honor the Lord with my wealth and store some things up and have an inheritance to leave to my kids and have some security? Or am I not supposed to toil to acquire wealth? Well, I think we are to work hard and to work diligently and to trust God with the outcome that He knows how much He wants us to have, and how much we will be good stewards of. While wealth is not inherently righteous, diligence is a mark of the righteous. So we pursue diligence. We toil. We work. We make the hard work our goal, not the wealth that may or may not come. And if wealth comes, praise God and use it wisely. But we work hard with the full knowledge that wealth may not come our way, for various reasons, some of which we've talked about today. And if our goal is wealth, know that it's, here's where we need to know our hearts. You say, it's okay to work for wealth. Our tendency is going to be too attached to the wealth. Greedy, trusting in it, coveting, love of money. Money is not evil, but a love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And if we are striving for wealth, too often it can be an indicator that our heart is not in the right place. Not always, but it can be. And so we need the commands against coveting and greed and selfishness and materialism. So we pursue hard work and trust God for the outcome. Listen to this prayer from Proverbs 30. This is pretty remarkable. I'm not sure I'm brave enough to pray it. Proverbs 30, 7 through 9. Two things I ask of you. Deny them not to me before I die. Here's thing one, remove from me falsehood and lying. And here's thing two, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Give me neither wealth nor poverty, give me what I need. Isn't that interesting? He recognizes the dangers of both wealth and poverty. If we have great wealth, we may trust in that instead of the name of the Lord, who is our true refuge, and say, who is the Lord? I got this. I got bank account. I got retirement, life insurance. I got disability insurance. I got it. I'm good. And don't we tend to do that? Not just with money, but with all sorts of things. We put our trust in wealth or some other good gift of God. Our job, our house, in bank account, retirement, other people, instead of trusting the God who has given us these things. And that prayer in Proverbs 30 recognizes that. Don't give me too much, because then I will trust it and I will say, who is the Lord? And I will be trusting in myself and what I have done. But poverty brings with it its own temptation. One in that circumstances might be tempted to steal or engage in those dishonest practices, those bad paths to wealth, and so dishonor God in that way. Solution for Proverbs here, It's Augur. It's not Solomon. It's Augur in Proverbs 30. The solution for him is, give me what I need. As Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Sound familiar? Feed me with the food that is my portion that is needful for me. Give me this day our daily bread. Paul tells Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. And if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. The reason I say it, it's almost too scary for me to pray. God knows better what I need. Poverty, what I need, wealth. Pretty sure I don't need wealth. God knows that. But God knows better. I want to say, Lord, give me what I need. Give me what you know that I need, Lord. Charles Bridges says, both states, poverty and wealth, both states, however, have their besetting temptations, needing special grace. The safety of both is, when the rich, okay, here's the safety for those that have wealth in this life. When the rich are poor in spirit and large in heart, and the poor, they're rich in faith and contented with the gain of godliness. There's a safe way for both the rich and the poor and the in-between. You need wisdom. You don't need wealth. Qualified with everything that we said today. We need to trust the Lord. And here's how Jesus put it, and we'll give him the last word today. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, 31 to 33. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Those money questions, where's it going to come from? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There's that pursuit of wisdom rather than wealth. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Let's pray.